Been thinking about a subject for the past few days. If I could put a topic to it, it's the things that I don't know about God. You think, okay, the more years that you live for the Lord, you understand Him better and better to where you know a lot about Him. But you know, I find the Lord reserves some things to Himself that we don't understand. And I believe part of the reason for that is He wants to reserve a place that we end up having to just say, Lord, I trust You, even when I don't understand, even when I don't know. So what I'd like to do for a little bit this evening is let's look at some places where the Scripture itself tells me there's some things you don't know. But first of all, I'd like to look at a few of them that tells me God's ways are so much higher than ours, because I'd like for us to store away some scriptures. And I think this one is a very important one for us to start with. Isaiah 55 and the 8th verse. My thoughts are not your thoughts, your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So that lets me know whenever I start in my own thinking, trying to say I've got God figured out, I need to remember this verse. His ways are so much higher than mine. And you know, we can find this out just if we look back at the times when we were children and we were told the Bible stories, and we find out how many of those God worked in ways that we would have never thought could have even been possible or would have worked. His ways are higher than our ways. So I look at this subject, the things I don't know, or maybe I'd say the things I thought I knew and I find out that I don't. There's a place that would be good for us to look at. It's in Ecclesiastes in the 5th chapter. Ecclesiastes 5:1. So this kind of tells me, okay, God's ways are a lot higher than mine. So here's something I need to put into practice. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few. So when I look at that, as I'm thinking I understand who God is, as I start seeing who God really is, what it needs to do is humble me, that I would say, what does it say? God is in heaven, thou upon earth, let thy words be few. So I would like to look at a person for a little while tonight, Job. In the book of Job, it starts out in the first verse, given a description of him. There was a man in the land of Uz. His name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. So just looking at that description of Job made me think of some other verses. You know, there was a time where there was a man, a Pharisee, Luke 18:10, where he went up to pray. And he had a testimony about himself. I fast twice in the week. You could kind of do this description right here. I do a lot of good things. I fast twice in the week. But his prayer was not accepted. God did not accept it. So I was looking at this description. Who's describing Job? Is it Job like that Pharisee in the prayer, I'm perfect and upright? Well, we'll find it something more than that. But I thought of another verse. A couple other verses that we need to remember when we're looking at how God looks down at things. In 2 Corinthians 10:8, it says it's not who man commends, but it's who the Lord commends that is approved. So here's some description about Job. Maybe Job could be talking about himself, saying, I tell you what, I'm a perfect and an upright man. But what we want to look for is, what does God say about a person? really what does God say about each one of us is what's going to be important. So that's 2 Corinthians 10:8 is whom the Lord commendeth, that'll be approved. And then Proverbs 27:2. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. So we're looking at this first verse of the book of Job. It's a pretty high testimony of a man. But you know what? This was not Job's testimony. What is going to be so important is if we can find a verse that says God testified this of him. Look down in the 8th verse, and God himself gives that same testimony of Job. The Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. God himself gave testimony of Job. This is who this man is. So I like that. Then some things came to Job, things that we know not. Well, why would a perfect and an upright man have boils come on him from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot, and he doesn't understand why? There are places that things I do not know when I start in human reasoning trying to figure it out. I had a boil a little while back, just one, and I tell you what, it was misery. And I think about him, if he had them from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, it's not comfort to stand, it's not comfort to lay down, it was misery. And so Job went through a period of time. I look over in the 31st chapter of Job, because I don't find any place that tells me how long this lasted, how long this sickness of the boils was on him, except that for the amount of chapters that it took. Was it a short time? Was it a long time? But in the 31st chapter of Job, he starts checking his life, wondering, why do I have this? Is there something that I have done? And I look at a little part of 31:21. Job is checking his life. If I have, because he was a wealthy man, he's saying, look at this in 21. If I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in the gate, then let mine arm fall from my shoulder blade and my arm be broken from the bone. I see this several places in 31. If I did not help someone that was in need, and it was kind of justifying himself, I know I have done that. I have done these different things. So then there was a man, Elihu, in the 33rd chapter, that he started talking to Job, and he told him something. 33:8. He's rehearsing to Job what he has just been saying. Surely thou hast spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy words, saying, I'm clean without transgression. I'm innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasion against me. He counteth me for his enemy. He putteth my feet in stocks. He marketh all my paths. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about God. God has allowed these things into my life. Job has had a pretty long time of it now. First couple chapters, it was going along good. You know, Job just telling his wife, oh, should you not receive good and evil from the Lord? You speak as a foolish woman. But we've got 31 chapters of sickness now. And Job is wanting to have, he even talks about it. Wish I had an opportunity to talk to God. I'd like to have an audience with God. Well, this man, Elihu, tells him in the 12th verse, behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee, God is greater than man. That's something we all need to remember. The things that come into my life and I may not understand why they came, let me remember this. God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. And so he's letting him know, you know, God doesn't come down and ask us, can I do this? He does things that maybe we don't understand. But I think it's very important for us to learn to trust him. To have a desire, you know what, I want to live for the Lord. I want to make heaven my home. And some things that he sends into my life, I may not understand. how they could do any good, but I'm going to trust that they will. Because then the Almighty God paid him the visit that he had been asking for. But it was not the visit that he wanted. Job 38, have you read these before? Now it says the Lord, 38 and 1, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. And he said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, and I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Okay, Job, this is God speaking. I'm going to give your opportunity now to talk to me. And he asked him in the fourth verse, where wast thou, talking to Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? You know, Job, you're having some trouble in your life now, and you're almost blaming God for it. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Can you imagine standing before God? You've been in the couple chapters ago, you've been saying, I sure wish I could have an audience with God. I'd like to talk to him. And God comes in a whirlwind and says, gird up. I'm ready to talk to you now. And these next two chapters, he just, at one thing after another, Job, where were you? And Job has had about enough of it. By the time he gets to the 40th chapter, Job wants to stop. Look at the 40th. He's had two chapters now to talk to Job. And it says, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? See, the things that I do not know about God, I need to commit those things into his hand. Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. And Job's wanting to quit now. Job says, I'm through. Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I'm vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I won't answer. Yea, twice I will proceed no farther. And God comes on again. Gird up thou thy loins like a man. I will demand of thee and declare unto me, wilt thou disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou may be righteous? And he takes off again for two more chapters, showing who God is and who Job is. And there was something that happened by the time that was finished. In the 42nd chapter, Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. What was our subject? The things that I don't know. It would be best for me to leave those things alone and understand God's up here and I'm down here and I just seek him to carry me through these things. I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I'll speak. And he says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, now that Job gets a good picture and now he starts getting more knowledge of who God is against who Job is, he says, I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. You know, I'd like to come to that place before I have to have four chapters of the Lord dealing with me. I would like to, and I think how we're going to do it is to get a clearer picture of who God is and who I am. And maybe I don't understand what's happening in my life or why it's happening, but just to have a calm assurance, there is something that's working in this for me. The things that I don't know, I commit them into God's hands. We sing a song, number 111. God's way is best if human wisdom a fairer way may seem to show. Every one of us could look back at incidents in our life and we say, why did this need to happen? Just this last week with Irma hurting her leg when she needs to be taken care of providing for herself. Why? What good can come out of this? Rather than being like Job and saying, Lord, I'd like to be able to consult with you on a level basis. Why did you do this thing? Instead, for us to say, Lord, there is something, some reason that you have allowed this. Help me to humble myself down and seek you. Because really the end of it all is our desire to make heaven our home. and the adjustments that God would like to make in us to help us get there. God's way is best if human wisdom, a fairer way may seem to show. What would that fairer way be? I don't want any pain. I don't want any trouble. I don't want anything to come into my life that give me trouble. You know, Job, a fairer way for him would be just let him continue on like he was in about the fourth verse, describing all the animals that he had. His children were doing well, and he was making sacrifice to God. He was a perfect and an upright man. Job would have probably liked for his life to just continue on like that all the way through. But God had a different plan for him. And at the end of it, when Job understood who God was and who he was, and he humbled himself, you know what? In the very next verse after that, in 42nd chapter, when he repented, it said that God turned his affliction. I think it's going to be important for us, for our affliction, to be, whether it's trouble, whether it's health, whatever it is when I come to a place that I submit everything to God and say, you've got a purpose that I may not even understand, but I commit it into your hands. A fairer way may seem to show 'tis only that our earth-dimmed vision, the truth can never clearly know. Another verse of that was, God's way is best, harp, cease thy struggling. You know, that's what Job was doing. He was trying to struggle to find out, why am I here? Is it something I did? I don't see that it's anything I did. You remember his three comforters told him, righteous people don't suffer like this. You've got something in your life that you have done. You know, they were just ready for him to confess it. What is it? Well, that wasn't much help to him, but he did do some searching on his own. God's way is best, heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Forsake thy fears and doubts, but trusting, submit thyself into his hand. We heard this morning someone had in Sunday school that verse, Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. For me to acknowledge, Lord, I don't know the best way for me to make heaven my home. Send to me whatever it takes. I remember listening to a message of Brother Isaac Chandler's. God is better reverenced than questioned. It is better for me to reverence him when I don't understand the direction he's taken than to question what he's doing. So I'd like to look at a few verses that help us to see who God is. One of them is in Romans. Romans in the 11th chapter, 11 and 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Who did God need to go to ask? I wonder if this would be the best thing to do. He didn't have to go to anyone. Who hath been his counselor? How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. There's another verse in 2 Samuel 22 and 31 that would be good for us to remember. In everything that happens in our life, as for God, his way is perfect. When I don't see how this thing is going to end well, to know that God is in control of it all. And there was one more that I'd like to look at in Psalms 131. Psalms 131 and 1 is kind of, I think of this after a man has gotten a picture of who God is and who I am. Lord, my heart is not haughty, 131 and 1 of Psalms, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. There's things that I just commit into the Lord's hands and leave it with him. You know, there's a place for me to tell God what's my desire. It says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Every one of us can pray to the Lord and say, Lord, I would appreciate it if you would do it this way. He allows us to do that. But what's going to be very important is that I realize something about God, and I end it with, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Remember, I was hearing just recently about Brother Veda when he was in that accident where he was hurt so bad. And when they took him home, what his thought was is, I wonder what God has in this for me. You know, when things come to us, instead of being like Job was, I tell you what, I'd like to talk to God about what he's been doing to me. I'd like to be able to say, Lord, you have something in mind for me through this. Help me to be able to accept it, to be able to understand what you're, how I should go through it. I may not need to understand all the details of it, but Lord, how would you like for me to go through this thing and have victory in the end? So in 2 Corinthians, Paul had a desire. 2 Corinthians 12th chapter said he had a thorn in the flesh. It doesn't tell us what it was, but said he prayed 3 times about it. And the answer he got back was, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, Paul had to make a choice about what he's going to do. You know, there's scriptures that tell us, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask whatever you want and I'll give it to you. Well, Paul asked 3 times and the Lord just said, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, we're not going to get the answer that we were asking him for. But you know what Paul did with that was he said, most gladly will I glory in my infirmities. I'm not going to allow bitterness to come to me because God didn't give it to me the way I wanted. I'm going to realize that this God that says, my ways are higher than yours, my thoughts are higher than yours, I'm going to put all that into his hands and trust him. There were a few other places that I'd like to look at that says there's some things that I don't know. And just looking at it on the surface, I say, oh yes, I do know it. But I'd like to look at one of them. In Romans 8 and 26, this says, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now that seemed like a strange scripture right there. I don't know how to pray for things as I ought. You know what that's talking about? I know how to pray. Lord, I want you to get me out of this trouble. I want you to take away this problem. But this says, I don't know how to pray like I should. And that's with eternity in mind. I really don't know the things to ask God for with eternity in mind. So look at this one that it says, the Spirit in the 26th verse helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit is making intercession for me according to the will of God, knowing what God, you know, something higher than I'm able to know, knowing what God's plan is for my life. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. You remember when the disciples were asking the Lord in Luke 11 and 1, Lord, I want you to teach us how to pray. And that seems like a simple request, but it wasn't so simple because it goes down into areas of my life. I want your will to be done down here on earth in me, just like what you have up in heaven. You know, that means I'm going to have to submit my will to him. And Jesus' prayer, you know, he was praying, if it be possible, I'd like this cup to pass from me. Every one of us can do that same thing. Lord, this trouble that I'm faced with, I would really like for it to go away. But he finished it with what we all ought to finish ours with. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, I want your will to be done in my life. So what I do is started out with this. There's some things that I don't know. You know what? That's one of them. I don't know how to pray as I ought, because the Lord sees out into the future. He sees eternity ahead and he wants to put some things in my life. And he may be like Job, wants them to last 38 chapters to get some help to me. Help me to submit myself and learn to trust him. There's another place that I don't know. It lets me know I don't know. Let's look at Luke. Luke in the 6th chapter. 6 and 41. When we look around at other people, it's telling me there's something that I'm not able to know. 6 and 41. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? When I look at someone else and I can see a fault, it says I can't see my own the same as I see his. But it says on here, how canst thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. How I deal with others around me. Lord, help me, because this is saying I really can't see myself like on the same scale that I can see others around me. I'm singing that song, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer, needing the Lord to help me. Remember in Galatians 6 and 1, it says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, and then use this as a gauge, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. When I'm trying to help others, let me remember, you know, I could be in that same place. I need the Lord's help also. So there's another that we don't know. It's in Matthew 24. And I think it's a reminder to us over the last few weeks about it. Matthew 24 and 42. Watch therefore, you know not what hour your Lord doth come. That's something that we need to continually be running by our mind. I don't know when he's coming again. And says, know this, if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched, would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. You know, James says, you know not what shall be on tomorrow. You know, none of us tonight can tell what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm going to have to be ready all the time. We've had several reminders just in the last month, or just the last few weeks. Brother Lauren, Carl Miles, Sister Barbara's son, going out into eternity tonight. And this one says, be therefore ready. Here's another thing that you don't know. You don't know the day when the Lord's going to come back again. We need to be ready at all times. There's one more that it says we don't know. John, in the 14th chapter. So we find that for the things that I don't know, I want to put my hand in the Lord's and say, I'd like for you to lead me. You know, Jesus here in the 14th chapter is letting us know there's heaven out ahead for us. Let not your heart be troubled. First verse, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. In other words, I've had a lot of time to instruct you. You should know what I'm talking about. But look at Thomas in the 5th verse. Thomas saith to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? You know, really, I need to be in that kind of a place. I was thinking of a song. I cannot find the way to heaven. I cannot find the way without thee. Dear Lord, look down from thy throne and make thy light to shine about me, for I cannot find the way alone. The way to heaven, I'm going to have the Lord's help. His ways are higher than ours. We also sing the song, I know, this song is titled, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. Says there's many things about tomorrow that I don't seem to understand. But you know what's going to be very important for us? When I don't understand it, there's one thing. I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Maybe if we could pull that up and sing it together. There are a lot of things that I don't know. God intends for there to be some things hidden from me where I put my trust in Him. But He wants to lead us all to where the things that I don't know about tomorrow, I can say I know who holds tomorrow. Ask the Lord to help us each one.